Good morning. So before I get started, I'm just going to state the obvious that my voice is a little funny. 12 days ago, I lost my voice, and it's been making its way back slowly. But I thought, poor Betsy's been wondering if she has to write a sermon. So I'm here today, and I am so happy to be here with you. You are my family, and so I thought, this is the first time I've ever had to preach with a little bit of a hoarse voice, but I'm with family, so I'm glad to be here. This morning, we are going to turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to ask you a question. What matters most? So let's turn to the Word of God and hear what the Apostle Paul has to say. If someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? God, we pray this morning that as our hearts are open to hear your word, that you would help us to understand the depths, the strength, the power in your resurrection. God, may we know what matters most. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. So Matt Emmons had the gold medal in sight. He was one shot away from claiming victory in the 2004 Olympic 50-meter three-position rifle event. He didn't even need a bullseye to win. His final shot just had to hit the target. Normally, the shot he made would have received a score of around an 8.1, which was more than enough for a gold medal for him. But in what was described as an extremely rare event in elite competition, Emmons fired at the wrong target. Standing in lane 2, he fired at the target in lane 3, and his score for a good shot at the wrong target was a 0. And instead of a medal, Emmons ended up in 8th place. The moral of the story is it doesn't matter how accurate you are if you're aiming at the wrong target. Friends, as we consider our Christian lives and our individual lives and our communal lives, my question for us is this: What goal are we aiming at? As we live out our day-to-day lives, what matters most? This is basically what the Apostle Paul is asking in today's text. These questions are ones that I have found myself wrestling with this summer, especially as I have achieved some academic goals of my own and professional goals and all of these questions, but what really matters? As an APU student, I went to APU as an undergrad. I have the privilege of working there now, but when I was an APU student, as they are now, we were required to attend chapel. And over the course of my time as a student at APU, I heard dozens and dozens of sermons from really well-known preachers, many of which I do not remember. But there was one particular sermon that I do remember. Pastor Evie Hill of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles preached a sermon titled Life's Darkest Hour. I remember sitting in the seats there as a student thinking that this sermon was going to be about suffering and pain in life. But to my surprise, he began to describe life's darkest hour as the time where we feel so strong and powerful, so untouchable and successful that we begin to think that we don't need God. It's when life is going our way and our dependency on our own strength inflates that Evie Hill described as life's darkest hour. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with power or success or strength, but what matters most? Paul understands what it means to aim at things like prestige and honor. Our passage begins with his autobiographical data. He's quite impressive. He mentions his status and achievements within the Jewish tradition. And in many cultures in the Mediterranean world, one's social status was determined by one's honor. And there's a couple of different types of honor that you can obtain, that you can have. The first one is ascribed honor. That's status given to a person due to the reputation of their family and their ancestry. It's about who you are by birth. You're born into it, and there's very little that anybody can do to improve their ascribed honor. They're just born that way. On the other hand, honor can also be acquired. A person can improve their social status through certain achievements, whether that's academic or economic. It was an earned status, one that they worked for. And as we learn more about Paul, we find out that he was of enviable status in both categories. He was kind of a rock star. He was born into a certain degree of honor. He presents himself as literally an eighth day one regarding circumcision, following the law to the T. Of the people of Israel, he belongs to the prestigious tribe of Benjamin, and he's a Hebrew of Hebrews. And this means for those who cared about family and ancestry, he was a very pedigreed man. As an Israelite, he was distinguished among the Gentiles, or God-fearers. He was a blue-blooded insider. As for the honors he acquired, Paul presents himself as to the law a Pharisee, and to zeal a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Pharisees were known for their affection of the law and their strict observance of it. Therefore, Paul had formally persecuted the followers of Jesus because those followers of Jesus, just as Jesus himself, propagated a somewhat liberal interpretation of the law, and he just wasn't comfortable with that. Paul had taken pride in his ethical blamelessness, according to which he had gained righteousness. He had quite the pedigree. And in this text, there's a moment, much like that of the 2004 Olympics for Matt Emmons, that we find out that all of this honor It's just aiming at the wrong thing. This is not the stuff that matters in this new kingdom. And Paul begins to unfold for us a picture of what actually matters most. Paul states that he regards all attributes of honor, that which he was born into, and that which he had earned, as loss and even garbage. And the youth pastor in me just loves this text because those are terrible interpretations of that word. The word is actually like poop. But, you know, you're not supposed to say that in church. So it was crazy talk. This went against all of the thinking of the ancient Mediterranean world, and it goes against the thinking of our modern world, too. All the honor in the world, according to Paul, pales in comparison to the overwhelming power of knowing Christ. In a world where we feel like we have everything right at our fingertips, in a world where we can push a button and have just what we want in the moment, this is a very simple but profound truth. This text lays it out for us in very plain, direct language. Whatever gains we've had, whatever honor we've acquired, or that has been ascribed to us, we can regard as loss, including my voice, because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing more valuable, nothing more powerful, nothing more life-changing, more honor-filled than knowing Christ. There is absolutely nothing. And this isn't a petty greeting card line I'm feeding you. In a world where the brokenness of humanity is headline news on a regular basis, in a world where I wrote about the shooting in Gilroy to talk about today, and there have been two more since then, I wonder myself, God, I'm a minister on a college campus. What am I supposed to say to this? God, I'm preaching on Sunday. What should I say about all of this? Is there something new that we can put in front of people and change the state of this world? You know, the pressure's really on for preachers these days. But as I've read this text and I've had time to meditate on it, I've heard the word of the Lord say to me in the stillness of my heart, the message hasn't changed. There's still nothing more powerful than knowing Christ. The power of the resurrected Christ still speaks to the brokenness of this world. Each one of us, regardless of our pedigree or achievements, are invited into this relationship with Christ. This is what we share in common. May we be found in Him, not having a righteousness of our own that comes from a set of rules or seeking to earn a particular level of prestige or honor, but that which comes through faith. The Message translation of this text says this: I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Paul continues, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. In a world where we often think we have things pretty figured out, let us remember that line today. May we know Christ's resurrection power. May we understand that our works alone, our achievements alone, will not heal the brokenness of this world. But, there is power in Christ's resurrection. Even death was conquered in the power of the resurrection. Now, we might not always live this out perfectly, Paul, too, admits in the text, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal. He finds himself on the way, but that is not a problem because the old order of honor and achievement no longer counts in this new reign of Christ. Paul was bringing a new vision to the old tradition. Not that I have already obtained this, he says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has already made me his own. And forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. May we too be a people bringing vision to our traditions. I have a friend who is a trail runner. I don't run with her. She's amazing. Last year, she wanted to run a 100-mile race through the Utah wilderness. And about 7 weeks before the race, during one of her training runs, she had a horrible fall. And she dislocated her elbow, and she needed a ton of stitches. She was really in bad shape. She spent the night in the hospital, and we thought that was the end of this race for her. But she's a really resilient person, and I followed her social media as she went through grueling physical therapy to get her arm to a place where she could actually get back on the trails. And a couple of weeks later, she was actually running on the trails with her arm in a splint, and she continued her training even though these injuries were tremendous. On the day she was set to run the race, she posted a video of her in the final stretch of this 100-mile race, a race that she did end up running. But in her post, it was really poignant. She ran a lot slower than she had expected. And at one point, she even had to stop on the trail because she had terrible shin splits and her body was exhausted. But she kept running, and she filmed herself in the last stretch of this race, and she crossed the finish line crying her eyes out, but she made it. Friends, today's scripture is a word of encouragement for us in the midst of trials, in the midst of pain, in the midst of unexplainable brokenness in our world. We are not called to lean into our own power. We are called to lean into Christ, each one of us. We are called to live into being the people God created us to be. We are not perfect, but we are perseverers. So press on. There may be days or seasons that are more painful or difficult than others, but press on. You may feel ill-equipped or too weak. Press on. You may be in a season where you feel incredibly powerful and strong on your own. Press on. Lean into the power of your Savior who loves you and is calling you forward. Press on. I'm reminded of the words of an old hymn written by Fanny Crosby. She has a really interesting story. As a six-week-old baby, Fanny Crosby had an eye inflammation. And since her family physician was away, a substitute physician came in. And that treatment that the substitute physician gave her actually made her go entirely blind. But it's told that she wasn't bitter about it. She said at an early age that she resolved to leave all care to yesterday and to believe that the morning would bring forth its own peculiar joy. A well-meaning minister, which we usually are well-meaning, once told her that it really was a pity that she didn't have her sight And she responded by saying, if at birth I had been able to make one petition of my Creator, it would have been that I should be born blind. Why? Asked the minister. And she said, because when I get to heaven, the first sight that shall ever gladden my eyes will be that of my Savior. And she wrote several hymns speaking of seeing her Savior face to face. This one is really poignant, so I'm going to share it with you as I close. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, I'll start over. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white. So sorry. He will lead me to where no tears will ever fall. Dear friends, press on.